Father, that's what we desire to be. Souls on fire for you. Born again, spirit-filled, passionate followers of Jesus. That's what we long to be. And I pray that you would help us with that. I pray that you would help churches and Christians all over America and all over the globe be souls on fire. On fire with the Holy Spirit of God, so that our lives reflect Jesus. Our actions, our words, our daily living reflects Jesus. Help us, Father, we pray. Help us this year to be souls on fire for you. Thank you for this good day. Yes, it's cold out, but it's warm in here. Thank you that we have been able to come to worship you. Thank you that churches will gather all over our region. I pray that your Spirit would be with each and every gathering and you would receive the glory. We've come to bring you glory today, Father, as we've come to celebrate what you have done for us in just a little way again. So thank you for everyone that has come. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for what you keep doing. Keep leading us, Lord. Keep guiding us. Help us to be souls on fire and help us to be a light, just like we looked at from Matthew 5:14 last week. Help us to be a light in our communities, in our workplaces. Help us to be a light for you this year. May we burn brightly for Jesus. And so, Lord, thank you for everyone that has come. We pray for those who couldn't come. We pray again that you would watch over them in the cold. Maybe they're sick. Maybe they're in hospitals. Father, watch over them. Minister to those in hospitals, care centers, jails. Minister to those at home. Father God, help them to feel your presence today and trust you. Trust you completely. Guide us as we've come to celebrate, to worship you and to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The other day, Christian and I, my oldest grandson and I walked in. It could have been just yesterday. We walked into the building here, and he's fairly observant, and he looked into the sanctuary, and he said, "What's with the dehumidifier on the stage?" And I said to him, "We're going to celebrate." Those of you that were here last week know that today is a day of celebration because we're going to shred our mortgage. And so, yes, give God glory. And so that up there on the pedestal isn't a dehumidifier. It is a paper shredder. And at the close of this service, we will sing, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And we will shred the mortgage for this brand new building. And so what we're going to do today is different than what we would normally do because I wanted it to be a celebration. I'm going to give you just a little snapshot of the timeline for the last few years. Then Mary and Emmy are going to sing for us. And Pastor Richard is going to share a little bit. And then some of my family were going to sing. And then Charlie is going to share. We're going to celebrate God's goodness. Amen? And so, I'm glad that you're here, and if you didn't know what we're doing today, that's what we're doing. Celebrating God's goodness. Let me give you a brief timeline, then I'm going to turn it over to Mary and Emmy to sing to us. In the late fall of 2001, and I know lots of you know this, but not everybody does. In the late fall of 2001, Sherry and I, after being approached by the Free Methodist Church at the Little White Church, two blocks east of St. Michael's, had been coming to me at the plant for months, asking me to come and help with the Free Methodist Church. In the late fall of 2001, we said, okay. He'd badgered us long enough, and we thought, okay, we'll come and help. That was in the fall of 2001 when Sherry and our three kids got there. There was the pastor there at the time and his two children. Besides Sherry and I and our three kids and him and his two kids, him and his wife, there were eight adults there. Eight. And we felt, quite frankly, come and help with what? Because we didn't look like there was a whole lot going on. But anyway, we did stay, and in June of 2002, the very next May, that pastor said, "I'm leaving and Jim's in charge." That's not the way Free Methodist Church normally does things, but that's the way he did it. And so he left, and we reasoned that, we reasoned that God did not call us to the church to close a church. We'd already been through one of those in our little country church at Leader. And we didn't really want to go through that again. And we did not feel that God called us to close a church, so we began to pray and sought the face of God. And you know, I've told you many times that I didn't know a thing, still don't know too much about pastoring. And so we cried out to God and said, we don't have a clue what we are doing. We're going to need some help. We prayed and we sought the Lord. And God blessed us. Some of you were there. A few of you that are here this morning were there in June 2002 when Pastor Bateson left and said, Jim's in charge. You've been with us the whole journey. And God began to bless. And pretty quick, the little church over there wasn't big enough. And we began to look at the Riverside Church right over here because their pastor had a stroke and they were down to two families. And that's another long story that I don't have time for today. A lot of you know it. I'd love to tell it to you, but I don't have time for it. Long and the short of it is, in the spring of 2004, we moved into that building known as the Riverside Church. We praise God for that church. It seemed like a mansion to what we had just come from. I'm not putting down the church, but it was 115 years old. It was tired. It was little. There was no classrooms. Our conference superintendent, don't even use the basement. Don't even go down there, he said. And so we rejoiced when we moved over here. We praised God, and we continued to pray. I was bivocational. In 2006, exactly 11 years ago this week, I stopped working as a production manager at the seafood plant and became the full-time pastor here. And that same year, because God was blessing and God was moving, by Easter we went to two services for Easter because that sanctuary was getting full too. Praise be to God. And by 2010, I'm just going to be really brief here because there's others that have word and there's singing to be done. By 2010, we were discussing the idea of a building addition. We had just moved over there, but God was blessing and moving and people were coming and people were coming to Christ. And children's ministries were taking off and all kinds of things that were happening. And by 2010, we were discussing the idea of building an addition. And again, we prayed and sought the Lord. By 2012, God was testing us. A lot of you know that story. Financially, He gave us a little test. A lot of you were there for that vote that day. I don't have the time to tell that whole story today. I'd like to because it is a God story. But He gave us a little test. Are we going to trust Him? Are we going to trust in our pocketbooks? He was giving us a little test. And a lot of you know we gave a very large gift to a ministry. We basically gave away all of our building money. But God was testing us, and by 2013, we ask you, the church, to pray and seek the face of God. Are we supposed to build or are we not? We ask you, how much money should we have on hand? And you said 50% at least. And so we're talking about a $700,000 project, and according to your feedback to us in the survey, we should have at least $350,000 on hand, which seemed like a million or more. But God was working in our midst. And God began to move, and the money began to come in. And in June of 2014, while Sherry and I and some of the rest of you were at our conference meetings in Montello, Wisconsin, in June of 2014, the project began right here where we're standing, right here. The tar began to get peeled up, the beautiful maple tree, much to the dismay of many children, got cut down. And we began the building project in June of 2014. We had been blessed by God. We did have half on hand. And I did a lot of paperwork for the Free Methodist Foundation. We had secured the other half through a loan through the Free Methodist Foundation. We had a loan approval for up to $400,000 because we thought we're going to have a $750,000 project. We need to have half on hand, so that means if the project goes over, we better have a loan approved for about $400,000. The building got built. As you drove by here all summer and we worshiped over there, you saw the building get built on December 24, 2014. We moved into this new building on Christmas Eve, and we praise God again. We praise God for His goodness. And in February, that's just 2 months later, in February of 2015, we made our first payment. And as God has blessed, we had a 20-year mortgage. We made our first payment in 2015, and as God has blessed us and moved in our midst, we did not have to borrow the $400 or $300 or $200. We borrowed $140 because the money just kept coming in. It was a 20-year mortgage agreement, and in December, last month, in December 2016, we made the last payment. The last payment of a $140,000 loan. Months into a 20-year mortgage, and God blessed us and helped us pay off the loan. And so this building is paid for, and we're going to shred the mortgage today. I praise God for His goodness. Mary and Emmy, while Mary and Emmy are getting ready to sing, Brother Leslie Wise told me something the other day that I want him to tell you. He's one of our older brothers here, and this, so you know when he says this, this is what it means. Go ahead, brother. Tell us what you told us.
Well, as most of you know, I'm fairly recent in this church. I came before the ground was broken for this. I saw your need for a larger building. And I started to pray that God would let me live to see it be accomplished. Praise God, He did. And I'm not a kid, but I started praying again that let me live to see the mortgage paid off. Praise our God, I'm still here. And for our board of directors, which I'm not a part of, you can take my vote for the three expansions you are thinking about at this time. We need to serve our Lord in every way we can. Thank you.
Nothing of our effort stand, no legacy survive, unless the Lord does raise the house in vain, its builders strive. To you who boast tomorrow's gain, tell me, what is your life? A mist that vanishes at dawn. Oh, glory be to Christ. Oh, glory be to Christ our King. Oh, glory be to Christ. His rule. Oh, glory to Thee, Christ. the great I am, the faithful and the true, the Lamb who was for sinners slain is making all things new. Behold, our God shall live with us and be our steadfast light, and we shall e'er his people be. All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ.
Good morning again. I just wanted to touch base and talk to you a little bit about this process from the view of a board member at that time. So when we were getting ready to build this building, I was probably been on the board for about a year, a young man obviously at that time, getting a little older as we go, as everybody does. But we had some money in the bank set aside for a building project, and we're talking about this and praying about it, and I want to say we had about $70,000 in the bank, and so set aside for a building project. We knew this was going to cost quite a bit more than that, and we're come to the board meeting on I don't remember if they were on Sunday afternoons at that time, but to a board meeting, and Pastor Jim brings this request to us from a missionary asking for $50,000. And so I've grown up in the church. I've been around missions givings. You don't give a missionary $50,000. Not in one shot. You know, it's just not something that's done in the church. And so my first thought is, you know, how does this make sense? We're saving money to build a church. Who does this guy think he is? He's asking for $50,000? I mean, I'm being honest here. I wasn't thinking about the power of the Lord. I was thinking about the numbers. I was thinking about, this doesn't make sense to a guy who works in the plumbing industry, maybe isn't the brightest bulb in the shed, but you take $50,000 away, there's not much left. Then we're going in the wrong direction here. And so what Pastor Jim just encouraged us to pray about this and see what the Lord thought about this. And, you know, he brought it before you guys as a congregation, and we moved into giving Pastor Salek this $50,000, and now he's off with this TV ministry now and witnessing to millions over in the Middle East, doing this great work that he's doing. And obviously God blessed us through the building of this building to pay it off in under 2 years of it being done and to work through that. And the other time I was thinking, we were at a building meeting, and we were looking at bids from contractors. And we were having these conversations, and there's a number of board members that were a little uneasy about the bids that we had. And so I remember the one guy saying, you know, I was praying about it, and he goes, I don't remember the day, but he goes, on this day, at about this time, I really feel like the Lord said, okay, let's move forward with this. And come to turn out, it's actually the same afternoon that we had received the last bid from a gentleman by the name of Jim Albrecht, who built the church. And so a number of board members at that time had felt all of a sudden it's okay to move forward when we receive that bid. And so we felt very strongly the Lord was leading us in that. And some of you know Becky Albright, Jim's wife who passed away a number of years ago. She had been making statements in the years prior to this that her husband was going to build us a church. And so even before we had really talked a lot about building a church. And so as a young man going through this process, I really see the hand of God at work. And I see the fact of where we can trust in Him, even when it doesn't make sense in our minds, when we go through numbers and planning and things like that. They don't always have to work out the way we want them to or the way we plan them to. We can see God's hand at work. And sometimes He put us to the test at, are you willing to give up money that you think you need when you don't really need it? I got a better use for it. Are you willing to trust in me when it doesn't make sense? And so I found that throughout the last couple of years in my life to be the same story of that fact that, boy, sometimes things don't need to make sense. They don't have to fit with what I've got planned. They need to fit with what God has planned. And we can find those things out by trusting in Him, by seeking Him in prayer. And so what a story for myself as a young man, just to see that God will always be faithful and God will take care of things if we're willing to give up our own desires and follow Him. And so to me, it's been the same story as coming into to be an assistant pastor here and youth leader that, yeah, I've had to give up some things that I thought were pretty good for myself. And so I've had to give them up and go on a path that I don't know what it's going to turn out like. I don't see how this is going to work out, but Lord, I'm going to trust in You. And sometimes we just got to trust. And boy, God has done a work in the Motley Free Methodist Church. I thank Him. We give Him the glory for everything that He's done. And we praise Him today for His blessings. And so that's just what I had to say this morning. Thank You.
One of the things that we've tried to do over the years is to pray. And so this song reflects that. Then I'm going to read a little statement from Les Kreider. Then we're going to sing a song that lines up exactly what Les said also.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It paid my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell Him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry,
and He will
answer by and by.
Now when you
feel a little prayer will turn, and
then you'll
know a little fire is burning.
You will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Sometimes my path seems drear without a ray of cheer, and then a cloud of doubt may find the light of day. The mist of sin may rise and hide the starry skies, but just a little talk with Jesus clears the way.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell Him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry,
and He will
answer by and by.
Now when you
feel a little prayer will turning,
then you'll
know a little fire is burning.
You will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to Him in prayer, He knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell Him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry,
and He will
answer by and by.
Now when you
feel a little prayer will turn, and
then you'll
know a little fire is burning.
You will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Pastor Les Kreider wanted to be with us. There's a long story with Pastor Les' association with this property. And most of you know he hurts in a great way and doesn't get out of the house much. But he wrote this. He said, 74 years ago, I spent 1 week at the Motley Free Methodist camp meeting, sleeping in a pew in the back of the church. 74 years ago would mean he was 9. He's 83 now. My years go way back, and I have seen lots of changes. For many years, 2 weeks of camp meetings was always a very special time for all the churches in the conference to gather in Motley for spiritual refreshing. Many people slept in pup tents and cooked their own meals. These were great times of refreshing. In 1969, I left my work as an assistant hospital administrator at Aiken Hospital, reducing my other responsibilities to doing just anesthesia, and came to Motley Free Methodist Church in the middle of the winter, and I began preaching to a small congregation of wonderful people. The church was unheated, and it took a while to heat on Sunday morning. Since there was no indoor plumbing, an outhouse was at the back of the building, the door hanging by one hinge, as I remember. In 1979, on Easter Sunday morning, we had our first service in the original building here. He's referring to that one right over there. It was unfinished, but we set up folding chairs and had a good time of worship. That building was a miracle in itself, with many volunteers helping the construction. A lot of changes have taken place until Pastor Jim came, and others will give more details about. Needless to say, I will be eternally grateful for the day Pastor Jim responded to the call of God and began his very fruitful ministry to Motley community. An added blessing to the ministry of Pastor Richard. We have all witnessed what God can do through a committed people of God. These are exciting days. This is the reason I wanted to read this now, because I didn't know this last sentence, and he didn't know what we were singing next. His last sentence: these are exciting days to be living with full knowledge. Jesus is coming soon.
Troublesome times are here, failing men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. Humbling your hearts to God, saved from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians away. Jesus is coming soon.
5 minutes is all I got here, so I need to get right into it. Woo! It's 2017. As Jim said, it from his time at the plant and then into the ministry and into these smaller churches, and bam, he's over here. And along comes Charlie Poulton one day into his office. We'd been attending the church, and we fell in love with the church body, the people that are in here right now. You mean a lot to me and my wife, and the church does too. And to have a wonderful pastor and his family, and to meet everyone else like Pastor Les, I told him I wanted to be a member of the church. I had some questions to ask him because I'd been involved in many churches. I've been involved in watching some churches built. Never got to watch them finish because I was in the military, constantly moving. I think we belonged to over 10 Baptist churches over the last 40 years. Not because we wanted to switch churches, but because we had to move. We're not church hoppers. I guess you could call us church hoppers, but it was kind of a forced issue. The last question, when I got done talking to Jim, actually he did all the talking, and then he said, "Charlie, have you got anything to ask me?" And I said, "Well, financially, how are you going to pay for this new building, this new church you're talking about?" He says, "Well, by faith." He says, "Let me tell you a little story." Okay, you've already heard a story, you already know that, but just let me tell you this. You took a step into not really darkness, but into an area where you maybe couldn't see the end. But you gave a missionary $50,000. And guess what? Most of us know, some of you don't, but Pastor Selleck is now what we would call in the United States big time. He has reached all the Middle East countries over there now. He's got a radio program. He's got televisions. He's got satellites. And he's bringing the word of Jesus Christ to all these countries that are basically Muslim. And hundreds and thousands of people have come to know Jesus Christ because a small church in Motley and other churches in the United States provided funds. So that money was well spent. And then, bam, what happens? I leave, but in the meanwhile, Jim told me, he said, "After that, Charlie, that step of faith," and that's what it is, it's faith, the money started coming in from everywhere. "And that's how we're going to pay for the church, Charlie." He says, "I firmly believe it'll be paid off here not too long. And we're going to break ground as soon as we can. And hopefully by Christmas," this is 2014, "we'll be moving into the sanctuary." And I'm thinking, yeah, sure, you're going to build a building in 8 or 9 months. Let me move on to breaking ground. In May of 2014, right out here, actually by the sign, a large group of people that could come, some couldn't because they were working, I'm sure, and taking care of family, showed up. I think there were 75, 80, maybe more people. The newspaper was here, and I thought, wow, this is important. Well, before that shovel that Jim had and some other folks had hit the ground, we prayed over this ground. And we prayed that the Lord would bless the building of his church. And that was the first step. And of course, as you can see up here, and thanks to Jessica and Tim for putting this slideshow together, this is the end result. This isn't the end result, but you'll see the slides. Pastor Les, Jessica, and many others provided these slides. Let's move on to December. From May till December, it's finished. We're ready to move into the new sanctuary. And so Jim and Richard got everyone together that could come, and we came right back here in this corner. We had a bunch of chairs in a circle, like Jim said, and we prayed. We prayed over this church body. We thank God. I can only tell you that I have a lot of things in my life that I'll never forget. But I won't forget that night. It was so majestic. I can't tell you how we felt God's presence right here on this ground. And it was because of your faith in Jesus Christ and God to be able to do things that are unseen that made the difference. And then, of course, there was the Christmas Eve service and then the Christmas service. It all took place. It all happened. Let me read from Hebrews 11:1 what faith is, because this fits this church body to a T. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. This church was certain that this building would be built and paid off in a short time. It's a miracle. God has blessed us, and I'm going to close this with prayer. I'm going to close my little thing here with prayer. I need to do this. Father God, we thank you for the blessings you provided us with this building, with the grounds the building's on, and with the church body. Lord, let us never forget what you did for us. Let us move forward one lost soul at a time. May we reach out, touch these people. May they come to this building. May they know that Jesus Christ is Lord, Lord, before it's too late. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
We're going to sing to close. Jess, if you want to lead us in Great Is Thy Faithfulness. I'm going to read what's on this, then we're going to stand and close with this song. It says, Satisfaction of Mortgage. Know all men by these presents that the undersigned current beneficiary whose parties, dates, and recording information are below does hereby acknowledge that full payment has been received and satisfaction of the same. Accordingly, the county recorder is hereby authorized and directed to discharge the same upon the record of said mortgage. Original mortgager, Motley Free Methodist Church. Original mortgagee, the Free Methodist Foundation, dated May 8, 2014, recorded May 27, 2014, in witness whereof the undersigned by the officer duly authorized has duly executed the foregoing instrument on 12/9/16, the Free Methodist Foundation. And it's signed Mark Olson, Executive Vice President. And so there's more, but that's enough. This is the satisfaction of mortgage. Christian asked if he could stick in the dehumidifier. And let's go ahead, buddy. Our Father and our God, we thank and praise you for this good day, this day that we celebrate again your goodness. Thank you, Father, for blessing us. Thank you for walking with us. Thank you for watching over us, protecting us, guiding us, and leading us. Please continue to do so. Help us, Father, to see your mercies that are new every morning. Help us to be a bright light in our community. And until Jesus comes, which one day he will, may every time we gather here, we gather to bring glory to you. We're just thankful, Father, again today for what you've done for us. Go with each one as they go to class or go home and be with us in our second service, our meal later, and our annual meeting, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.